This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
There have been some memorable trips out west to play the Chargers at a variety of venues. We had the Le'Veon Bell buzzer beater. You may remember Tomlin saying we went to the mattresses, which I believe, is that a line from Goodfellas? I think it is. Last play of the game, you win or lose. And Le'Veon Bell for a walk-off, I think, right behind DeCastro, if memory serves. And then, of course, you had Duck Hodges' first start. You gave me Duck's number limits, and he's not getting back to me. I mean, is he giving me the Belfont snorkel here?
Well, whenever I tried to reach out to him to come on the show as well, he also never got back to me.
I sent him the story I did. I covered that. I went to Venice Beach and everything and did a huge story on his first game. I sent him the story. I said, for 5 minutes, could we talk? And he's giving me the Belfont snorkel. Yeah. That was 24 hours ago.
He's a big-time guy now, I guess. I don't know.
Is he big-timing me?
I think he is big-timing me because of Lainey Wilson.
Unbelievable. I guess I'll call Dave and Al and still do the story, but I need the primary subject here to take a look back on that game. Anyway, that was amazing. Are we having TV problems? Are we going to get on? Is this thing going to get on the air limits?
It's going to get on the air. I'm working through it.
Okay. I don't mean to interrupt you. I know you're working your magic. It's probably Bob's fault that the TV thing is down, is it? Might be. Limits is panicking. So we'll continue to talk. That game was ridiculous, the Duck game. It was played in a soccer stadium, if you recall. It was a night game, a primetime game. I can't remember if it was Sunday night or Monday night, but I know Duck went to Venice Beach the day before, got himself a beautiful T-shirt that was something Duck-related, and then went out and played a pretty good game, and they beat Phil Rivers. And you'll never believe who scored a touchdown for the Steelers that night. In fact, if you can tell me right now who scored a defensive touchdown for the Steelers that night, I'll get you and Donnie a steak dinner. Wrong. Devin Bush.
I couldn't even hear what game you were talking about because I'm working through the audio issues. You never even gave me a chance, Joe. You backed me into a corner with no weapon at my disposal to fight back against
you. I'm sorry. I thought you were listening while you were doing that.
But I did figure it out. We're good. We will be good to go.
Okay. Devin Bush scored a defensive touchdown that night. The game, like I said, was played in a high school, basically a high school stadium. I think they used it for a pro soccer team out there. So it was in some ancient stadium that sat 30,000 people, and we were right on top of the field. It was a total embarrassment for the NFL, but it was awesome. I'll never forget that night. And it was packed with Steeler fans. That was one of the more enjoyable games I ever covered in my career because of the venue and because of Duck. And what a game it was. I'm also trying to buy a Washington Wizards sweatshirt, believe it or not.
All right, Joe, here we go.
All right, here's the coach.
As always, I'll start with a quick assessment of our last performance. I really have the same reaction that I had after the game. I thought a major catalyst over all the three phases of the game that was significant was our ability to minimize their outstanding running back, Taylor. Their offensive unit certainly had been on fire. They had punted, I think, 16 times in 8 ball games. You know, their success is well documented, but it all, from our perspective, stemmed from their ability to run the ball, to stay on schedule, to minimize one-dimensional passing circumstances. It allowed them to stay one step ahead of the defensive units, usually. It allowed them to minimize the potential of negativity in doing so. They protected the ball. I think they'd only turned the ball over 4 times on the season. And so a major component of the game for us was altering that, making them absorb some more risk, having them be in more one-dimensional passing circumstances, hopefully forcing them to punt a little bit more. All of those things stem from our ability to minimize the run game. And so just wanted to restate that. I thought largely we played complementary football as well. Once we started taking the ball away, the offense started scoring. I think we put on 2 quick touchdowns in the first half off of turnovers. It didn't always start that way. I thought that our inability to score when we got that turnover in the special teams game was a significant component, early component of the game and from a negative perspective. And so complementary football is big. Stopping the run is big. The takeaway game obviously is always big. These are core values, man, that, you know, that we hold and certainly work toward. And we saw the fruit of that labor in stadium in terms of how the game unfolded. You know, from a health standpoint, we had a number of things going on with people. Don't have a lot of significant updates. I'm certain that I will get more clarity as we push forward through the week. Scotty Miller is out with his finger. We'll see how he's able to function at some point this week. With that, Cole Holcomb is still out with his illness. We'll keep an eye on him and see what his level of participation is. Isaac Seumalo is still nursing a pec like he was managing at the early portions of last week, and he was able to function for us. Pep's got a soft tissue injury. Chuck Clark is sick. He should be returning to us. And then we have some other bumps and bruises associated with play that may limit some people at the beginning of the week, but not prevent them from practicing and participating as we push forward through the week. As we always do, one man's misfortune is another man's opportunity. We'll take it as an opportunity to grow and develop some others and ready ourselves in that way. Certainly excited about a complete week's work with Kyle Duggar. You know, was really impressed by his work in stadium. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that again. Really impressed by his work in stadium. Excited about having a complete week of work with him at the safety position, not only in terms of knowing what to do. Certainly he displayed an ability to learn quickly and play and detail that component of it, but the communication component of it, the work within groups. I thought Jalen Ramsey did an awesome job with him, particularly as we got into the weekend last week, making sure that they were coordinated as safeties. But all that work didn't mean anything. We still had to get in the stadium and make it happen. It certainly was a challenge. It lacked a little bit of fluidity there early on, but I thought as those two worked and worked together, their experience in the National Football League, even though they're somewhat new to us, and whether it's Jalen new to the safety position, I thought their global overall experience and talent showed up as the game wore on. So excited about an additional week's work with that collective. Jalen will continue to work exclusively at safety. We value his play, his positional flexibility. It's an asset to us. It gives a lot of people things to work on, but certainly under the circumstances that we're under right now, we deem that appropriate as we did last week in terms of nailing him down there. And so it'll provide opportunities for guys like Brandon Echols to step up, which he did, and play more snaps as a nickel, et cetera. And even guys like James Pierre had an opportunity to get some snaps outside. We've got more depth at corner than we do at safety. And so we're just simply pivoting and doing what's required to keep the train rolling. Now I'll start on the Los Angeles Chargers. I'll start first on their defensive side. Got a lot of respect for Jesse Minner, man, and his strategic approach to the game on that side. He does an awesome job of minimizing big plays. He does an awesome job of moving Derwin James around. Derwin is just, he's the straw that stirs the drink for them. He plays safety and base. He's capable of playing rundown nickel. He's also capable of playing linebacker in passing circumstances. Minner does an awesome job of you know, showing all of his talents in those ways. He's a good blitzer. He's a good tackler. His disguises are great. I think they do a nice job with veterans in the secondary like Jefferson and Dante Jackson and others, who also have to be versatile as he moves around. And I think oftentimes we don't talk enough about that. If one person is moving around, it generally creates challenges for others, and they seem to manage all of that really, really well. At the linebacker spot, they got a nice blend of older and younger. Perryman mixed up with Henley, man, is a nice tandem. Perryman's got really good instincts and experience. He's a good rundown tackler. Henley is a challenge. He's a good athlete. He's a sideline-to-sideline tackler, former safety. I think you see that in his game in terms of his ability to cover grass and do some of the things that could be challenging to other linebackers. He's also a really good blitzer. That's a component of his game that looks elevated in 2025 relative to 2024. But it's a reasonable expectation to see a young, talented player evolve and evolve in certain areas of his game. And certainly his blitz game is much more impactful watching this year's tape than when we were getting ready to play him a year ago. Their edge group is the group. They've got talent and depth in that group. They play as many as four and five guys along the edge. It's really impressive considering that, you know, Bosa is no longer a member of that group yet and still is still their deepest and most talented position probably on either side of the ball. We got a lot of people to get ready for there. Khalil Mack, certainly, former defensive player of the year, is one worth mentioning. And then Owe is an acquisition from the Ravens who we have some familiar with, certainly. And he's been a big asset to him since his acquisition. I think he's had four sacks or so in the last four games. On the offensive side, man, it certainly starts with Herbert for us. I feel like we caught a flyer a year ago. He was limited from a mobility perspective when we played him. I thought it impacted how the game unfolded. It allowed us to do some things schematically that you somewhat hesitant to do if he has full mobility. I think it nailed him down in the pocket some and probably limited some of the things that they choose to do schematically, like play action pass and changes of the launch point, which is certainly a component of Greg Roman's attack. It was minimized some last year. And so as I watch tape this year, I'm cognizant of that. Herbert is extremely talented. He can kill you with his arms. He certainly can kill you with his legs. He can kill you with both by play extension. He has a complete arsenal of people to throw to. Can't say enough about their receiver core. The reacquisition of Keenan Allen is kind of a linchpin. Man, he's a steady Eddie. He's been around Herbert in the past. You can tell he's certainly a security blanket. You throw him in with the emergence of Johnson and McConkie, man, they're a dangerous group. And in recent weeks, I'd probably be wrong if I didn't mention the emergence of Gadsden, the rookie tight end from Syracuse, who's really put together some big-time games. His talent is showing. He's a guy that's capable of some run after. He's one of those unique body types. He's almost an oversized receiver, if you will. And so we certainly have our hands full in these one-dimensional passing moments, working to minimize all those eligibles while at the same time respecting the mobility component of Herbert. I've talked about all those things, and I certainly hadn't mentioned the run game, and I better. When you're playing a Greg Roman offense, man, you better be prepared to stand up against the run. They've had some attrition in the backfield, but it hadn't slowed down their growth and progress in that area. They drafted the young runner from North Carolina in round one. Certainly they acquired Naj in free agency. Both of those guys are not available to them, but there's still been an uptick in their run game, particularly in recent weeks, as Vidal has found his rhythm. I think he's got 200-yard games in the last 3 weeks. Patterson last week in particular is a another young guy. I think he had about 50 yards rushing on 8 or 9 carries. And so, you know, there's no rest for the weary. We got a big game versus a really good team in their venue, one that's talented offensively and one that's talented defensively and in special teams. And so with that understanding, man, we're certainly preparing with an edge this week. And we got some things to sort through in terms of player availability. I expect that to clear up as we push through the week and us to be able to narrow our focus and position ourselves to be our best.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'll pause and open it up for questions.
Mike, did you go into the game against the Colts thinking that Duggar would play all but one snap, or did you just want to see how it was going to evolve?
I was hopeful that he could play a lot, but certainly we had direct eyes on him in case it wasn't unfolding in the ways that we would like. We're just getting to know him. We certainly respect the fact that he's a veteran player, and he certainly displayed signs that he was capable in our practice sessions leading up to Sunday. But stadiums are somewhat different, and so we had a plan, but we were certainly light on our feet if that wasn't moving in the right direction.
What did you see while he was playing that was either satisfying or comforting to
you? I didn't think there was any lack of fluidity in his movement, whether it was pre-snap adjustments or things that happen at the snap. And I think oftentimes that's an indicator of understanding. I certainly didn't expect him to be a hub of communication. Communication was probably going to be one-sided. But just in general, in terms of putting eyes on him, his fluidity of movement, adjusting the pre-snap shifts and motions, and the hair trigger that you saw at or just instantly after the snap gave me an indication that he was comfortable, he knew what he was looking at, and that he was going to be okay.
You talked about Jalen's versatility. What traits make him a good safety?
You know, it's just his relationship with the game. I think some of the things that you talk about when you first talk about the safety position are intangible qualities, are not necessarily things that you measure. He's got really good instincts. He's got really good passion for the game. He studies the game, and I think those are some things that really enable him to play back there, and that's such a major component of that position. His talents are obvious, you know, his tackling, his range, his physicality. But the more subtle things, the intangible things, I think are the things that are exciting for us, because as he gains more experience back there, it's reasonable to expect some of those talents to show up more frequently.
A number of the defensive players talked about simplifying the defense last week going into the Colts game. How much of that was a byproduct of having new faces like Kyle Duggar, Jalen playing a new position, and how much of it was because you weren't getting the results you desired in the first part of the season?
I think it's both. I think it always is. I think all the decisions that you make in terms of menu and menu size are usually about yourself first and what you're going through, and then what's required to strategically match up against opponents.
Do you anticipate keeping it simple again this week?
New week, new issues. We'll see.
To that same vein, there definitely seemed to be a schematic change in terms of like too high versus not blitzing as much. Was that primarily of how you wanted to attack the Colts, or is that also a reaction to what you've been seeing in recent weeks?
Week in and week out, we make decisions based on the variables of that week, and so certainly the things that we did last week were relative to the Colts and our circumstance.
Not do anything to try to ease Duggar's transition into playing so much schematically for your defense?
You know, it's only so much you can do. He's deserving of a lot of credit, and that's why I mentioned him directly after the game. There's only so much you can do. He absorbed a lot of defense in a short period of time and displayed knowledge and understanding.
Would you like to, Mike, if possible, to add some help or depth at safety to allow Jalen to be more position flexible? Or are you happy with him being in the back third?
It really depends on player availability. It's certainly an asset of his. It's something that he's open to doing. It's something that he's capable of. But as I mentioned when I was talking about Derwin James, those things don't happen in a vacuum. They involve others and others' movement as well. And so we'll make those decisions based on what's available to us.
Mike, along those lines, you said last week you guys would be buyers at the trade deadline. You already bought one in Kyle Duggar. Do you anticipate shopping around a little bit more before 4 o'clock?
We'll see what happens. You know, I like shopping.
Yeah, Mike, along those lines, last year around this time, you referred to the trade deadline as an arms race. How have you seen in recent years teams become more aggressive when it comes to in-season trades?
You know, I don't know that I look at it in terms of trends from that perspective. I just know that, you know, if you're trending in the right direction, if you got a desire to be in this thing as the road gets narrow, usually you're open to adding talent that can assist you, whether it's attrition based or whether it's just areas where you fall short. And that's something that I think some of the competitive teams are interested in and year out. It's just a natural component of this thing.
The team announced that you got Valdez Scantling signed. You doing any more shopping at wide receiver, or has he addressed what you needed to address there?
You said 4 o'clock?
4 o'clock.
So we got a few more hours. We'll see what happens.
What about him as a player? How does he help you? How might he be woven in?
He's just a practice squatter right now, and so we'll get him in the fold and get him working and check his overall level of conditioning, how he learns, and some of those things. It is not the Duggar discussion. He's just a practice squad guy.
How much did Aaron kind of advocate for bringing him in just with his familiarity?
He did not.
Mike, just to clarify, did you say Scotty and Cole are out this week or out to begin the week?
No, we'll see if they're able to participate, and then the quality of that participation will be our guide in terms of whether or not we include them.
When was the last time you had like an illness run through the locker room that kept these guys off for this period of time?
COVID, you know, is the only thing that kind of comes to mind. But you know, it's the National Football League, man. That's why you better have a hardcore plan and be light on your feet. I'm certainly thankful that we acquired Kyle Duggar, man, and he's a quick study.
Mike, at the wide receiver position, how have you seen guys behind DK Metcalf, like Calvin Austin or Roman Wilson, continue to grow and develop, and how much more would you like to see them continue that process?
You know, I think it's been a steady improvement in terms of their quality of play, particularly Roman of late, other than that boneheaded lack of ball security late in the football game. Generally, there's been an uptick in the quality of his play. But again, we don't look at our eligibles as wide receivers, man. We feel really good about our tight end group as eligibles as well. And you can't talk about the passing game without talking about the contributions that we get from that group. We've been very open about that as well. When we acquired Jonnu at the very beginning of the journey, we talked about, you know, that we have eligibles. Regardless, REC, receivers. And I still think we feel the same way. We certainly need growth and development from individuals within our collective, like the two that you mentioned, but we're comfortable with how we're distributing the ball and our utilization of people and our division of labor to this point.
Going off of that, kind of on the defensive side, Peyton Wilson, obviously a big showing on Sunday. Just how have you seen him grow and develop this season?
You know, he's one of those second-year guys that gained a lot of in-helmet experience last year. And so when you get that, it's reasonable to expect those guys to move forward and take off. Certain guys that don't get a lot of in-helmet experience, we have that same expectation. Roman, Troy Fatanu, for example. And so Peyton logged a bunch of snaps last year. You know, he's playing really good ball, but we expect him to. He expects himself to. He's got a really good relationship with the game. He's professional. He studies. We've asked him to stand in for Miles Killebrew as a special teams captain. And so, man, there's a lot of things trending in the right direction from a career standpoint for him, certainly.
Mike, you guys consistently took away the Colts' first read and made David Jones throw onto the ball. What did you see in the preparation that led to that being a more consistent factor for your defense compared to the other previous two games?
You know, his first option is to turn and hand that ball to Jonathan Taylor. And so that was the first order of business, and I think it all kind of went on from there, as I mentioned.
When you guys as a staff, you and the rest of your defensive coaches, evaluate the creation of turnovers, are you looking at it from the standpoint of like a turnover is a turnover, like a win is a win, or do you look at it from the standpoint like Cleveland, for instance, you're in a position to make a lot, they just didn't get them. The two games that you had against the division leaders in the AFC, you had 11. So do you kind of look at yourself as if we had a better turnover game strictly by the total, or is it more about the position you put your guys into?
You know, we're ball searchers, and so, you know, forget how many we get. We have to consistently display intent where appropriate. As we talked some last week, sometimes it's not appropriate when you're the first hitter, for example. But we routinely work on when it's appropriate. We have to be ball aware first. We got to be ball searcher second. And when you do those things, you generally get the results that you desire.
Mike Beanie Bishop was one of those ball searchers a year ago. You guys make the decision to move on from him with the practice squad. How did you kind of come to that?
You know, I'm not getting into practice squad decisions. That's just too far down the totem pole. I'm more interested in what we need to do this week and the guys that are on the 53 we're preparing to play.
Mike, what does this defense have to do to build off of the momentum that you guys set last week against Indianapolis?
Simply come back to work. You know, as I mentioned post-game, man, it's a fine line in this business between success and failure in this week in and week out. The teams that are really good, the units that are really good, the individuals that are really good have a certain level of consistency to their performance. And so that certainly is a challenge for that unit that you asked about.
You know, Patrick Queen, and from the standpoint of his ability to communicate the defense, what Terrell wants, getting the checks out, and how he's operated as you guys' kind of quarterback.
PQ's been awesome in year two as our defensive quarterback. He's really, really owned the responsibility of being a hub of communication. It's something that's somewhat new to him, although playing is not. Being that defensive quarterback is, and I like the trajectory of it in year two.
Been very banged up at running back and on the offensive line, but they still average 4.8 yards a carry. Is that Greg Roman, or is there something else they have going on that makes them so good at running the football regardless of the personnel?
I think just there's a commitment from Roman and company. You know, we've competed against him a lot over the years. I think that's a signature of his football. I think it's going to be evident regardless of who plays running back and who plays in the offensive line. All you got to do is think about his time in Baltimore. There was always some emerging runner when faced with adversity, Gus Edwards and others that were running through people. And so I think the same remains.
Mike, Aaron told us after the game that Jalen talked to the team Saturday. What kind of impact do you think that had on the group, and what do you think about a guy that's been around seven games willing to go up in front of the group?
You know, I asked him to, but he's not the only one. But generally, I'll keep those conversations between us. He's got a lot of experience, NFL experience, world championship experience, and I'm thankful that he was willing to share that with his teammates.
Talked a lot of training camp about you bringing a bunch of veterans together and trying to mold them together as a team. That two-game losing streak was the first time that togetherness was really tested. How do you feel like they came through that ordeal?
I don't think that was the first time it was tested. It gets tested every day. It gets tested continually. I just think that's the nature of this journey that is a season. You know, I'm not overly concerned about that component of it. We've done our due diligence in terms of the men as individuals. Most of the people that we acquired, we coveted them when they came out in the draft. They've passed our smell test. They're good football men. And usually adversity brings the best out of good football men as opposed to the worst.
Mike, what did you guys have to do to be cleaner in the run game? You guys got it done short distance in the at the goal line. Jalen Warren was held at 2 yards per carry.
You know, sometimes it's you got to tip your cap to your opponent. And I think that's the first place to start. I thought, I thought that Indy did an awesome job. I thought particularly that veteran front tandem of Buckner and Stewart are a problem. We knew that going in. We talked about that in here a week ago. They confirmed that. It minimized our start, to be quite honest with you. Thankfully, we were able to catch fire and move on from there. But I'd probably just like to compliment those guys. As I mentioned, when you got veteran guys that have been together like those two, coupled with a guy like Franklin, who's grown up in that system, and the safety tandem as well, Nick Cross, in his fourth year drafted, Kenny Moore, longtime Colt at the nickel spot. When you got people down the middle of that defense like that with that level of not only individual experience but collective experience, there are going to be some challenges.
Anyone else? All right.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
I found that to be rather entertaining, and I think that some of the top lines were, I like shopping. Did you hear that one? Limits? I don't know who asked him, but he said we have a couple hours here. And I like shopping. Of Roman Wilson, he said, you know, things are pointed up other than that boneheaded lack of ball security play. I think he was talking about Valdez-Scantling. He said, this is not the Duggar discussion. He's just a practice squad guy. And then somebody said, did they ask about Beanie Bishop? It sounded like when somebody asked him about carts all those years ago when Mason Rudolph got carted off. And he said, I don't do carts. Of that nature.
This is what he said.
Ask somebody that's in charge of that. I don't drive carts and things of that nature.
And then this about Beanie Bishop.
Mike, Beanie Bishop was one of those ball searchers a year ago. You guys make the decision to move on from him with the practice squad. How did you kind of come to that?
You know, I'm not getting into practice squad decisions. That's just too far down the totem pole. I'm more interested in what we need to do this week and the guys that are on the 53 we're preparing to play.
Limits, you got to find Iverson and match that with Iverson. Practice. We're talking about practice.
Practice.
And then add in squad if you can. Sort of mix and match those two in a creative mixtape, if you would.
You know, I think it's been a steady improvement in terms of their quality of play, particularly Roman of late, other than that boneheaded lack of ball security.
He was firing on all cylinders today, huh? The boneheaded lack of ball security.
This was just funny today. I mean, sometimes it's combative. Sometimes it's boring. Sometimes it's, you know, compelling. Today, it was like a one-man comedy routine. This was tremendous stuff. That's your project for our brief intermission that's upcoming, Limits, is to mix the Iverson rant with the cart rant with, I don't think I'm going to get into practice squad guys right now.
You know, I like shopping.
Because he was asked about Beanie the ball searcher, right?
Man, that just tells me further that they just did not like Beanie Bishop whatsoever at the very end of this. I mean, seriously. We don't even discuss him. Not even, oh, good luck, Beanie.
Was the term
see you on your way.
Ball searcher was included in the question, was it not?
It was,
can I hear
yes.
the question and answer again on Beanie the ball searcher?
Here it is.
Mike, Beanie Bishop was one of those ball searchers a year ago. You guys make the decision to move on from him with the practice squad. How did you kind of come to that?
You know, I'm not getting into practice squad decisions. That's just too far down the totem pole. I'm more interested in what we need to do this week and the guys that are on the 53 we're preparing to play.
The way he bit off the word practice was tremendous. All right, I want to hear Roman Wilson and the boneheaded lack of ball security play. There's a lot of balls flying around here. Let's hear that one.
You know, I think it's been a steady improvement in terms of their quality of play, particularly Roman of late, other than that boneheaded lack of ball security.
Oh, this is beautiful stuff. What else did he say? Anything interesting?
He talked about Valdes-Scantling.
What about him as a player? How does he help you? How might he be woven in?
He's just a practice squatter right now, so we'll get him in the fold.
I can't help but laugh
and
at that,
working
too.
And
what did, wait, he was asked
check
to
check his overall level of conditioning, how he learns, and some of those things.
How about he no-sells how much influence Aaron Rodgers had on signing him?
It is not the Duggar discussion. He's just a practice squad guy.
How much did Aaron kind of advocate for bringing him in just with his familiarity?
He did not.
I can't.
Nope, he did not.
Now I've started laughing, so everything he said I'm going to laugh at. I'm having a laughing attack, I think. All right, that's your assignment, Limits, is to find the Iverson rant and make a mixtape of this. I don't know what else he said. There was nothing interesting about injuries. Sayamalu's nursing a pec. It's got to be a difficult task for the week, right, to nurse a pec?
Yeah, it's a difficult injury.
Pep has a soft tissue problem, and Chuck Clark was sick, and Scotty Miller has a broken finger. I don't know what else to tell you on that front. You?
Yeah, I mean, there's really not much on the injury side, but, I mean, he didn't really talk about the
injured
offense.
Have you ever nursed a pec?
No.
No?
No. Do you ever go to the gym and work out and then look at your pecs?
No. I'm not even quite sure what my pecs are. Are they my abdominal muscles? Oh, they're my chest muscles, right?
Yeah, I think they're the ones on the
your
side here,
breast
right?
muscles, if you will, right?
I think you're asking the wrong person about, you know, workout muscles.
About pecs.
Yeah.
At least you're not nursing a pec.
Correct.
All right. So the way I hear that, the only real thing to worry about is Sayamalu. I mean, Pep doesn't seem to be part of the plan anyway. He has a soft tissue injury, right? What if
correct.
Pep was nursing a pec, or what if Pec was nursing a Pep, right? That would seem problematic. The Chargers... You know, they're actually a team that's worthy of praise, I think, although they have a huge issue here with their starting tackles, Slater and Ault, out for the year. So I'd be watching them before 4 p.m. I hope Jim Harbaugh likes shopping, too. I think he does. And I wouldn't be surprised if they came up with a tackle before then. And other than that, it's all systems go. Justin Herbert. I like the fact that Tomlin copped to the reality that they got a break. He called it a flyer that Herbert was hobbled last year and then wound up leaving the game. I think that's just honesty.
Definitely.
And they took advantage of it. Good for them. They beat the Chargers. He killed them a couple years back. Remember that night that he ran? They were in man-to-man defense like the whole night, kept turning their back on him, and he would take off and run for 5 and 10 and 15 and 20 yards. That was annoying.
He's a top 7-8 quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, I would probably agree with that.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building
a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
All right, Wonder Twin, the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. And on it right now, we have Mr. Brian Batko of the Post-Gazette. He witnessed my first, well, my second, I guess, but my first indoor full-court basketball game in a long time. Last Thursday night at 9 p.m. in Glenshaw. My shot wasn't on, Brian, but I felt pretty spry. I felt like I belonged there. I felt like I could help my team win. Your thoughts?
Yeah. Yeah, you hit some shots, Joe, and it was great having you out there. I think you're welcome back anytime. I think the
great bunch of guys
liked you. Yeah, very calm, no bickering, no animosity towards anybody. But yeah, it was. Thanks for coming. And let's set the stage for people here. If you've ever encountered this in a pickup basketball game, let me know. Joe walks up and grabs four of us and says, can you guys run an out-of-bounds play for me? Can we practice an inbounds play that I want to work on?
Yeah.
And we did.
And it's a great play.
I don't think that's ever happened before.
No, I don't think you guys were very cooperative.
That's why you're the best, Joe.
I thought it was fun. I thought it was really fun, and I plan to go back out there. All right, Brian. And you played really well, by the way. I thought you might have been the best player on the court that night.
Oh, thanks, Joe. Appreciate that.
You're welcome. Limits, have you played with this guy?
I have not, but I've heard the lore of the basketball games.
Yeah, he was the guy that you felt like you had to stop if you were going to win the game. I was his teammate at first, which I enjoyed immensely, and then we were on opposite teams.
I think intern Dom has received more invites to the basketball game than I have.
Intern Dom checked in on the mailbag today. He's in his 11th year at Syracuse. He's still in college.
He's a super senior.
And he asked me, who's the most hateable TV villain of all time? Either one of you have an answer for Dom? I said J.R. Ewing, geez. No relation to Patrick from Dallas, which was way before either one of you were born. Any ideas? Anybody? Limits?
Yeah, I mean, probably the skinhead dude at the end of Breaking Bad. That was actually one of my issues with the end of Breaking Bad was they introduced that guy, Jack, I think his name was. He was basically like a gangster, neo-Nazi, biker kind of guy. And he was just, there was no depth to the character whatsoever. A lot of times in the best TV dramas, you have complicated villains where 99% of you is like, this is the worst person ever. But 1% of you is like, oh, I can kind of understand the motivations. No, this guy was just a total big bad to take down Walter White. So I guess I'd go with him, but I also just didn't love the character or the way that wrapped up.
Negan from The Walking Dead is by far the answer for me.
There you go.
He was, man, he turned that show around.
I will certainly let Dom know. Is he ever coming back from college this time? Limits?
Probably around Thanksgiving he'll be back. Then Christmas.
All right, Brian, what stood out to you about the news conference today? I found it funny. I thought Tomlin was lighthearted, and I thought that it sounded like he's feeling pretty good about their last performance, and I enjoyed the news conference today. Some of the lines I thought were perhaps unintentionally comical, but comical nonetheless.
Hold on.
Hold on. We have a bell ringer. There's been a trade. That means a trade.
From Tom Pelissero and Ian Rappaport, another wide receiver is on the move. The New Orleans Saints are sending wide receiver Rashid Shaheed to the Seattle Seahawks.
The Seahawks and the Jags have jumped in here, Brian. What do we make of this?
I think that's a great move for the Seahawks. I mean, that guy's just a straight-up burner, stretch the field. Early in his career, he was much more of a special teamer, and he's sort of settled.
He's waving to me again. What happened now?
Whoa!
About ring the bell. What do we have here, Limits? What's going on?
We have our blockbuster trade.
Tell me.
Huge trade. The New York Jets are trading cornerback Sauce Gardner to the Indianapolis Colts for 2 first-round picks.
Holy ostrich milk.
The Jets just signed into a 4-year extension in the offseason, $120 million, and now they trade Sauce Gardner, an all-pro player, to the Colts.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Too much sauce. Too much sauce.
That
Colts
is
needed
huge.
It.
Huge. Wow.
The Colts needed it bad. And how about the Steelers lucking out a little bit here? They get the Colts 1 week after – or excuse me, 1 week before, obviously, the Colts trade for Sauce Gardner 1 week after facing the Steelers. So, yeah, that is certainly I think that's the biggest name that's going to be on the move today. And it's always interesting, too, as much as we want to go through the hypotheticals and speculate until we're blue in the face, did any of even the floating head insiders, you know, not like me, the ones with ties on and nice suits and they've got hundreds of thousands of followers, did any of them have Sauce Gardner getting moved at the deadline?
No, this is a legitimate shocker. And I think Indianapolis, I commend them for going completely all in with a move like that. Man, do I love that move. Would you have done that if you were the Steelers?
No, I don't think so.
How long's he signed for?
Well, he just signed that extension, so at least the next 4 years.
I would have done it in a second.
2 firsts?
You tell that
when you don't have a quarterback moving forward for a corner?
You tell that guy to go cover the other team's best player. You don't worry about the game any. It's like Darrell Revis. That's half the field gone.
You need your first round picks to be able to get a quarterback in the next 2 years.
I would never do that. Who are you gonna get? Drew Aller? There are no quarterbacks
next year. He immediately
Fernando Mendoza? Who are you going to get?
What about the year later when you don't have a first-round pick?
What about the all-in year? What about all-in?
Yeah, you can be all-in, but not be stupid.
What? Brian, what'd you say?
They've never been all-in this year. They're hoarding these picks.
It seems like they are with the nature of the people that they're trading for and picking up. Not the least of which is Aaron Rodgers.
That makes you all in now? Getting a guy for, what, $10 million guaranteed?
I mean, Aaron Rodgers, Jalen Ramsey.
A stab at it.
They're definitely taking a stab at it. DK Metcalf, Aaron Rodgers, Jalen Ramsey, Darius Slay, even though he hasn't turned out. Yes, I look at this as pretty much all in. The only thing that didn't agree with that was George Pickens, and I think they felt addition by subtraction. Now, the good thing is, I will acknowledge that Omar it only really has a 1-year attachment to a lot of these guys, but that doesn't mean it's not all in for this year. I don't care about picks. No. I don't. How come when it comes to the Pirates or things like that, people are like, who cares about picks or prospects? I want players right now for this deal. Sauce Gardner? Who's a better one-on-one?
Comparing draft picks in Major League Baseball is pretty different.
Well, prospects. Compare prospects to draft picks.
I guess that's slightly more similar. But
give me a guy who's in the prime of his career who might be the best cover corner in all of football that you have for the next 4 years. And yes, I'm giving up 2 first-round picks. So do we think Indy made a bad trade then?
Possibly. That's a lot to give up. But I do think, like City Limits said, they probably feel pretty good about bringing back Danny Dimes now, although that Steelers game on Sunday had to have given at least some pause with the way that he played. But to go back to the all-in discussion, I think if the Steelers were truly quote-unquote all-in, they wouldn't be sitting on all of these picks for next year. They would have dealt them away for something already. They do care about the picks. You can disagree with that from an analyst or a fan perspective, but
I think you can be
all
in.
Still very much balancing the now and the future.
Sure. But I think you can be, I guess it's your definition of all in. To me, the definition for the Steelers this year is let's collect a bunch of vets that we think are really talented and try to win it all this year. And I think they should make a deal, just one, that fits with that narrative. And I would have made this one. So, Limits, do you think that, I'm assuming you think Indy made a bad deal?
No, that's just not what I think is the appropriate deal for the Steelers.
Oh.
Just because a good deal for the Colts is a good deal for them doesn't mean it would be a good deal for the Steelers.
Why wouldn't it
Because I feel like the Colts are in a better position at quarterback than the Steelers are right now moving forward with that draft capital. I would much rather have those two draft picks, or at least one draft pick over the next 2 years, to be able to draft my next franchise quarterback, which you still don't have, where if you're the Colts, the way Daniel Jones is playing at a very high level, they might be able to convince themselves he's still younger, fits in that system, he can be their guy moving forward. The Steelers don't have that. So I would not have traded those two first round picks. No.
Where are they going to get that?
I don't think Sauce Gardner, if they traded for him, would make this a Super Bowl team. I don't believe that.
They just kicked the Colts' ass.
Okay.
So the Colts are better than the Steelers?
I'm not saying that the Colts are better than the Steelers.
But they have a realistic shot for the Super Bowl, but the Steelers didn't?
No, that is not what I'm saying. I'm talking about the draft picks. I would not want to give up that type of capital for somebody that I don't believe puts my team over the top. And I don't think Sauce Gardner would put them over the top.
So the Colts were that the Colts were that close to getting put over the top, but the Steelers weren't.
Apparently they believe that, yeah.
Well, do you believe that is the question?
For the Colts? No, I don't. But that doesn't constitute it as a bad deal.
The Colts are essentially all in now. They're the all-in team.
Yes,
right
they
now,
are.
When you look at this move, and, yeah. And they also have a much cheaper defense than the Steelers do. The first time that Sauce Gardner gave up a catch in a Steelers jersey, you and everybody else would be yelling, this $250 million defense can't stop anybody.
So, no.
No.
Well, first of all, I don't think he would be giving up many catches because he's that damn good. He is.
He's not Pat Surtain. He's maybe not as good as Derek Stingley. He's good, but the Jets are what, 1-7?
You don't think he belongs very much in that conversation with those two guys as the best cover corner in football?
He belongs in it. I don't think he's the best.
He's right
one
there. He's
the
right there with the best.
Of the year last year.
If I was the Bills, I would have made this deal. The Indianapolis just beat out the Bills and a bunch of other teams. I would argue, including the Steelers. Unless you're a big Joey Porter guy and Darius Slay, they just beat out the Steelers for a great player. I think.
Yeah, I mean, clearly the Bills and these other teams didn't think that Gardner was worth that much. So the Colts are, they're out in front for sure. And we'll see if they're right. We'll see if that puts them over the top. And they also do have him now for years to come. The Steelers have other big cats on their defense for years to come, too.
Yeah, but they can afford them because they're not going to be paying a quarterback anytime soon. They can afford to splurge like this. Here's the way I look at it. The Indianapolis Colts first-round pick in 2026, Sauce Gardner. And if you want to go 27, too, and I think he's worth it, he gives them a real chance. He really does. That's half the field gone. That's Darrelle Revis on the Patriots. We just covered half the field. That's what I think, and I think the Steelers should have done it. But they didn't. When's the next bell ringer coming, Limits?
Well, we've had four in the last 5 minutes. It should be coming down the pike anytime soon.
Wait, given that one, I forgot the previous one. What was it?
Shahid, the wide receiver with the Saints, goes to Seattle. No update yet on what the return is.
I can't believe Seattle and Jacksonville snuck in here. Can you, Brian?
For teams being unable to use half the field, how did the Jets give up 38 to the Bengals? 27 to the Cowboys, 37 to the Cowboys, 27 to the Dolphins, 29 to the Bucks, 30 to the Bills, 34 to the Steelers. I mean,
because
it's not like Sauce Gardner is some cheat code.
Because he is a cheat. Because they're the Jets. I mean, one guy's not going to do it by himself. You're really minimizing how good this dude is.
I think you're maximizing how good he is.
I am. How old is he? Limits, can you look up his resume here?
Yeah, I think he's just 26.
He's 25.
25, actually.
He's 25, and he's a two-time first-team All-Pro, and he's 25. He's on a Hall of Fame track. So, yes, I am. I'm maximizing my opinion on him. And he's stuck on the Jets. Man, must he be happy. Imagine how happy that guy is.
He already tweeted out, New York, it's been real. He's gone.
Remember 2020, guys, when the Steelers were undefeated and they traded for that linebacker from the Jets? Was it Avery Williamson? The Jets were winless and the Steelers were unbeaten and they traded for Avery Williamson in like early November in the COVID season. And then that season went to hell. But what are you going to do?
Well, let me ask you a question. Is Garrett Wilson healthy right now?
I don't know the latest on Garrett
Is this
Wilson.
An all-out fire sale? If they're going to trade him, are they going to trade Garrett Wilson on the other side of the ball and get two first-rounders for him? Or one?
I mean, he's been mentioned more than Sauce, but yeah, he is dealing with some sort of injury.
Yeah, they expect him back this week. He has a knee injury right now.
Oh, my God. Would I trade a lot to get him? Garrett Wilson? If you're going to trade Sauce, you might as well trade him and just start over, Brian, right?
You know, he and Aaron Rodgers really don't like each other.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. I did forget about that. But if I'm another team in either conference, really, if this is an all-out fire sale, what if this is the greatest trade deadline day in history? This is already...
Could be. They get better every year, don't they?
Yes, and this is already outdone baseball and hockey and NBA, anything from the last year.
I was just talking about NFL. I know.
It used to be nothing, and it's gotten better and better. And we still have, what do we have here, 3 hours? I think we're going to see Hendrickson gone, Crosby gone, Olave gone, and maybe guys that we never dreamed of, like Sauce Gardner gone. This is incredible.
There's the tweet, Joe.
The Raiders are going to trade Crosby.
New York, it's been real. The Greenhorn.
He sent that out within 3 seconds of being traded. New York, it's been real. Why do you think what would possibly be the reason to hang on to Max Crosby if you're the sad sack Raiders?
He's a pillar for them. I mean, he's like their TJ Watt. They love him. He says he still wants to be there. I mean, maybe with Pete Carroll coming in, and if they quickly wipe their hands of the Geno Smith situation, they can still turn things around. But I don't know. I just think that's one of those sentimental ones more than anything, even if everything on paper says, yeah, trade the guy, get a king's ransom for him.
Could be. You could be right. But from the sounds of it, man, Jason Lockenfor was on with us today with the morning show. It sounds like there's for sale signs up everywhere. There's also about 18 teams, we were looking at it, who can convince themselves, maybe not without merit, that they have a shot in the NFL right now. I think there's 9 or 10 in the AFC, and the Raiders are one of the very few that has no shot. So it's a seller's market, as we just saw, Sauce Gardner for 2 first-round picks. You put Max Crosby out there and dangle him out there, my God, the Bills might give them their entire franchise except for Josh Allen, including the stadium next year. I mean,
I will say, Joe, I quibble with one thing. I don't think this outdid the NBA trade deadline this year. Luka Doncic.
You're right about that. Let's see what happens here.
Yeah. We'll see.
A little Max Crosby here, a little Trey Hendrickson there. Limits, that was quite the bell ringer.
Hopefully we can just keep ringing them in the final hour, Joe.
Let's see what happens in the final hour. This is your spot right here. Brian Bacco of the Post-Gazette. Perfect timing.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.